Welcome to the Fire You Carry podcast. In this episode, Kevin and I break down a handful of phrases that are meaningful to us. We talk about where they came from and why we think it is important to build your own phrases or creeds and carry those in your lives. We start out with best job I ever had. If you've seen that, heard that, we talk about why we say it and why we think it's important. We also talk about a handful of other things, kind of a random show. Enjoy. He wanted to know when he was dying because it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, right? That's an oversimplification, but that's kind of what I took away from it as a young man. And I remember while thinking that was kind of a little bit crazy and out there.
He actually wants a hard death.
Right. A painful death.
A painful death.
So that he knows that he's going. And I did take that and internalize that and make that my own over the years as I grew and matured. And thought, yeah, that makes sense to me. I do want to know when I'm going, when I'm leaving. I want it to be an experience because it's the last one I'm going to have on this earth. In this episode, we're going to be talking about some ideas that are captured by just a few words. Both Kevin and I are the type of guys, and I think a lot of you are too, that movie quotes, lyrics from a song, a couple of words in a book are able to capture a feeling, and then that phrase kind of lives with you and travels along with you through your life, and you can repeat it to yourself, you can say it out loud. It can be motivating. It can bring you back to an earlier point in your life where you made a commitment to do something. And a lot of times those phrases don't really mean a lot to the people around you because they don't have that shared experience. We wanted to talk about a few of those with you and why we like them. The reason that we're thinking about this right now is the phrase, best job I ever had, which we talked about a couple episodes ago when we were sitting down with our good friend Rich Zuniga. And if you're not aware, Rich made a really awesome decal out of that quote, which is from the movie Fury. We talked about it in that podcast. We're just going to talk a little bit about what that means to us and why we say it. So Kevin has a better memory than me. He actually remembers when we watched this together and what happened.
Yeah, well, the movie came out in 2014, and not long after, somehow we got it in station. And we're watching that movie, which is an epic war battle, tank battle thing. And those guys were just the saltiest, gruffiest dudes. They're in the middle of nowhere in what? It's in some German foreign land. They're the only tank, and their leader is insanely impressive. He's just this really great guy, which reminded us of some of the guys. But we had watched that movie, and it was a great movie, right? But that night we started getting busy, and there was one after watching that movie after dinner, there was one really horrific. I think it was some sort of TC trauma that we went on. And it was one of those things that we couldn't do anything. You can't save a person. It was just traumatic for the people, obviously, and it was just a gruesome scene. And somehow on the way back, it's in the middle of the night. Nobody's saying anything, but everyone's feeling the same stuff. And somebody said the quote from the movie that we just watched, best job I ever had. And we all kind of chuckled and said, yeah, best job I ever had. It broke the mood of that weird vibe that we were all feeling. And it was saying, hey, the basic underlying tone was that I wouldn't do this by myself. It was easier to do it with you guys. This is the best job I ever had because of the guys, not because of the gruesome scene that we just saw. And then later on that night, we have on the truck, we had a water push, which is some giant flood in a commercial building where we have to get all kinds of things out and get all this water out of a building. It's long, it's tedious, and it was one of those things that became a thing right in the middle of it. We're grumpy, we're talking about what we don't want to do. And as we start sucking all this water out of this building, it said out, best job I ever had. And we all started laughing again, and it completely changed the vibe of 3:30 in the morning, kind of pissed off that we're going to grind. And we know we're going to be here till 7 in the morning. So it was like no sleep night, that it just broke that whole vibe. And then what happened? We all started asking each other questions, started telling stories, started laughing. And the night went by like nothing, and we got the job done. And so sometimes those little quote, that little thing just changed the entire, like, I don't know what you want to call it, just the atmosphere had from in like a pissed off, depressed thing to being like, we're getting paid. I'm working with my best buddies. This is the best job I ever had.
So what it is not is one thing that I wanted to highlight. It isn't literally saying this is the best job I ever had. It's not a celebratory like, oh, my job is perfect. I love every aspect of it. There's nothing wrong. It's not that at all. Said in that context, it would be gross. It wouldn't be something that the other guys would want to repeat. It would just be prideful and arrogant. It would be empty. But when you say it in those moments, like what Kevin is describing, where we've had a bad call, and just recently we've said that prior to all this happening, because it is something now that's become part of our vocabulary here at this station. It's in those moments where it's bad, where you've seen something terrible. Maybe you weren't able to save a person. Maybe you just had a bad night, whatever it may be. Best job I ever had for us now is that switch that we can flip, change our attitude, change our outlook on it, and everybody knows what it means. So it's just that one little phrase. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to talk about all the feeling or anything that's behind that. Everybody just knows, oh yeah, best job I ever had.
Yeah, and I was joking with my wife when our girls were little that I always said, hey, my number one job is being a dad. We had one of those diaper genies where you throw all your diapers into this thing and supposedly magically sears it up and you don't smell these dirty diapers. Well, we had two in diapers at the time. And I went to lift the thing out of the diaper genie, and all these doo-doo diapers went all over the kitchen. And I was laughing with Army because earlier in the day, I was saying, this is my best job. And then right when all that doo went down, I started laughing. I looked at her, and I said, hey, best job I ever had. And I started cleaning up poopy diapers on the floor. Which is, so it doesn't make sense. We're not trying to pompously say this is the greatest job I ever had. It is, but it's the hard times of saying, yeah, sometimes the best thing you ever had. And I've always said nothing good comes easy. You know, sometimes to get something great, you got to go through that mile of poo. You know what I mean? And like, I always think in the Shawshank Redemption, when he's climbing through a tunnel of poo to get out to the other side. And that's where you just got to get through the muck.
So that's best job I ever had. That's why we say it. That's why we think you should say it. You don't have to be a fireman to understand and to say best job I ever had or something similar. You can be a UPS driver who's not able to make all his deliveries and can't find the house and has to carry a box from Amazon for the 200th time down this driveway. Best job I ever had doesn't just apply to us. It can be anything. You just have to take it or something similar and own that and make it something that you're able to repeat to yourself or your buddies or whoever's around to change your mindset, change your attitude, and then carry on with the job that you still have to do. That's really the truth of this, is that it doesn't matter how bad the call is or how gross the call is. Kevin and I are going to go do it because that's our job. No one else is coming. We have to do it. And so you're either going to do it with a bad attitude or you're going to do it with a good attitude. And I can tell you from experience, it is a lot better for everybody involved if you can manage to do it with a good attitude.
Yeah. And I found this carries over in quite a bit in your life, that I had some incredible friends. And what I've noticed is that those friendships have been forged through sacrifice, that when you need that friend on your darkest day, everybody's your friend when things are going great, right? But it's that friend where you say, man, I have to get out of this apartment now. And I've been there where I've been evicted from an apartment. And there was only one guy to call at the time, and that was Joe Flavin. He'd come over with no judgment, start packing our stuff up, start loading it out. And we ended up having great laughs and lots of fun. And we've done that throughout our lives, is that when there is a tough time, is to just show up, be present, and I wouldn't want to do anything else except with those hard times with those guys. And when I look back at them, those are some of the strongest memories I have with my best friends, is going through rough times. It's not when everything was great, it was those rough times. And so I think you can take that into your job or to whatever, is to not shy away from the hard or the difficult or the gross or whatever it is. If you're doing it and you do it with somebody, you'll always remember it and you'll never regret it.
Amen. So we're going to talk about some other phrases that we both carry that mean something to us, and we're just going to talk real briefly about what's behind those. I want to start out, though, with The Fire You Carry, the name of the podcast. We've talked about it briefly before, I think on one episode specifically about what it means and the logo, but if you haven't heard that, real quick, I first heard the term reading a book by Cormac McCarthy called No Country for Old Men, and it also kind of makes an appearance in The Road. If you haven't seen those movies, just a little side note, go read the books first. They're great. The movies are really good too, but books are almost always going to win, so go read those. The idea, though, behind having this fire that you carry is an ancient idea where American Indian tribes used to have someone in the tribe that was designated as the fire carrier, and it was this position of honor. And they would literally take the fire that they had built, and they would take embers from that fire, and they would place them down in a hollowed-out buffalo horn along with some other type of wood that they knew was slow-burning and would smolder, and they would carry that fire to their next campsite, wherever that was. Could be a few hours away, could be days away. And that individual's job was to keep that fire alive. That fire was the life of the tribe. So these tribes would be carrying essentially the same fire for generations because they never let it go out. Because if you don't know, it's a lot harder to start a fire than it is to carry it and then from those embers get it going again. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And then, of course, we extrapolate that into, since we're not actually having to cultivate fire for survival anymore, we took that idea and said, what are the things that men that we respect, the guys that we're talking to on the podcast, carry in their lives, their traditions, their values, their motivations that we can then absorb and carry in our lives to make us better men? So that's what's behind The Fire You Carry. And that's something that, because we talk about it all the time now on the podcast, I think is pretty integral to both of our lives, that idea.
Yeah. Now, from a sports background, I'm saying it's time to get fired up, right? And I've seen those times when we're down at halftime, we're getting our butts kicked, and it was somebody that gave us a speech or somebody that started waking us up and slapping us on the back saying it's time to get fired up. And then you would go out and destroy that team. You know what I mean? And so that's that fire that there's always more within you. Right? There's something burning inside, and there's always levels that you can tap into. And it's usually mental. It's a mental block, whether you can or you can't, you're right. Right. And so if you have a positive mindset and saying, I can, I have a fire within me, I'm looking for the fire within you, and you can tap into those and fire up, I think that's always a positive in any aspect of what you're looking into getting into. Speaking of getting fired up, we have some other things. I know for a long time, we've always said, lightweight, baby, lightweight.
Lightweight.
If you don't know who Ronnie Coleman is, look him up. I've been a fan of his for a long time. And if you look, the dude is a giant. He was Mr. Olympia, but he was also like one of the strongest bodybuilders. He was known for lifting stupid heavyweight, like a 1,000-pound squat or something like that. But anyways, he has this thing. And he would always say, lightweight, baby, lightweight. But when we get up, and when I was doing powerlifting, we would get up and you would say lightweight. You were just saying, like, mentally, this isn't nothing. This is no big deal. I can lift this weight. And it was just a mindset. It's a stupid saying. You say lightweight, baby. But that change your mindset to not saying, oh, this is the hardest thing I'm going to ever do. This is just lightweight. Pick it up, put it down. And that changes your actual lift or accomplishment.
It really does. And I can tell you from experience, I picked that one up from Kevin. He passed that on to me. And when we will be out lifting in the back behind the fire station and I'm trying to lift something that is a weight I haven't lifted before, whether that's a back squat or a snatch or whatever it is, if I'm sitting there and I know, okay, this is going to break my PR by 5 pounds and that's what I'm thinking about, 99% of the time, I'm going to miss that lift. But if what I'm thinking about is Kevin chanting lightweight baby and slapping me on the back, guess what? I make that lift. I make the PR and it's great. Is it really light? No, but it's the change in the mindset. It's the change in the attitude. It's finding that little bit of extra fire inside you that Kevin was just talking about. And crazy as it may seem, that little quote by Ronnie Coleman in his high voice does it for me.
Yeah. So I was in a private academy. I went to Oxnard Regional Fire Academy, and this is a an academy that you do not get paid to do. You actually pay to go there. But there was a former Marine Corps drill sergeant who was running this academy. And they were trying to break people and get them uncomfortable as much as they can and get them prepared for the fire service. And there was those things that he would have us yell out while we're just getting destroyed physically, that he would say, "Too easy, drill sergeant." You'd yell out, "Too easy, drill sergeant, too easy, drill sergeant." And whatever it was, is when guys started yelling out, "Too easy, drill sergeant," it didn't matter what you were doing. It did become easy. And it was just like, no matter what, this is okay. No big deals. We're all doing it together. And as long as we're all suffering, this is nothing.
That's a great one. And I said the same thing in basic training when I was going through in the Army. It's just a thing. Too easy drills aren't too easy. And it's something I still say, although I've adapted it. I don't say drill sergeant or drill sergeant anymore. I say just too easy.
Yeah, too easy.
A lot of times when Cap will ask me to do something or whatever, that's what I'll respond with is too easy. It's one of those phrases that usually means the opposite. Like maybe this is going to be challenging or that may not be what I want to do right now, but it's changing that mindset, changing that attitude. Too easy. I like that one. All right. So in the same vein, actually, I'm going to shift gears. I'm going to shift gears. One of my favorite lyrics from any song are the words, "Give me rest." It's actually the title of a whole record by the band Hands. It's probably my favorite record ever, just because lyrically and thematically, when I was going through some really hard times, that record was just on constant repeat. The term or the phrase, "give me rest," refers to the Bible verse, and there's many like it, but Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So I actually have a bracelet that I made from leather that says, "Give me rest" on it. And it's just a reminder for me when things are hard or when I'm remembering past times that were difficult to really go to God in those moments and give that to Him, because He does promise that rest. And I've learned over the years that that rest doesn't mean life gets easy or that those struggles or trials will just go away and disappear. But what it does mean is that He will give you strength to get through that, and He will be there with you in that. So give me rest. That's one of my favorites.
Like it. That's solid. You have a good one from the Rangers, though, that I've seen all over.
Yeah, sua sponte, which is Latin for "of their own accord." That got adopted by the Ranger battalions early on because you had to volunteer 3 times to get into Ranger battalion. So you had to volunteer for the Army, and then you had to volunteer for airborne school, and then you had to volunteer to go Ranger battalion. So the idea behind it is that everyone there chose to be there and multiple times raised their hand and said, "I'll go do that." So that's a cool one, because even though I'm no longer in Ranger battalion, just like wherever you're at in life, I mean, some way, shape, or form, you volunteered to be there, right? You volunteered to be there to pick up those diapers off the floor in the kitchen. You volunteered to be here to pick up that homeless guy on the corner. Like, we volunteered to do that. Even just that little mindset shift can change your attitude. Just realizing, hey, I chose this. I'm here of my own accord. No one's making me do this. I'm doing this because I want to do this.
Love that. Well, you were talking about music, and I don't know if there's anything that can change your mood or your outlook than music, right? And so even with us, we're pretty positive dudes. We're pretty good, like half full type guys. But music will change that. And I don't know, every time, like you said, music has this time and a place. But I remember I was bartending. I was living in a horrible living situation in Long Beach. And there was that old Eric B. and Rakim song, one of the greatest rap songs of all time, "Paid in Full." Noel has no idea what I'm talking about.
I don't know that one. Yeah, I don't know that one.
But in one of the lines, he says, "Thinking of a master plan, because ain't nothing but sweat inside my hand. I dig into my pocket, all my money is spent, so I dig deep." I'm rapping right now, Noel.
I love it.
But anyways, he's saying, "I'm thinking of a plan because ain't nothing but sweat inside my..." He got no money, right? And so it sounds ridiculous, but I remember listening to that song. It's about the hustle. It's about trying to get trying to get up and you want to try to make something of yourself, right? And you got to get a plan, dude. So every time I hear that, I do go back to those days that I'm like, man, I got nothing. I need another job. I need two jobs. I need three jobs. I was riding a bus at the time, right? But you hear those songs and I laugh back and say, yeah, man, I'm glad I put in the work back then because it's all right now.
Isn't that amazing what things click with you and then just stick with you? And that's part of who you are now. It's really cool. Hopefully, if you're listening to this right now, you're thinking of your own phrases, song lyrics, whatever it may be. I would encourage you, if you don't already do this, write that stuff down. So I do a bullet journal, and Kevin does. Are you still doing the 5-minute journal?
Yeah.
So Kevin does the 5-minute journal. So we both kind of journal. I honestly don't do it all the time, but I try to do it frequently. But in the front of this journal that I use, if I have a phrase like that or something comes to mind, I'll write it down in there. And then periodically, I just look through them. And it's a great reminder of some of those things, some of those core values, some of those moments in time that you want to capture. So write that stuff down. Put a note in your phone, you know, however you do it. I like putting pen to paper, but, you know, the phone, the note app, that is also really good for that. So back to the fitness kind of related motivational quotes. The phrase crush the weak became really important to me when I first started my fitness journey. After getting on the fire service and realizing that I was fat and out of shape, starting to go out behind the fire station and hit a tire with a sledgehammer. So as I was going out and pounding on this tire with a sledgehammer, trying to just start getting back into shape, I was listening to hardcore music, and there's a band called Terror, and they have a song called Crush What's Weak. Something about that phrase really motivated me, and in that moment, I was what was weak, and I was trying to crush myself and just reset and get back into that.
I love this.
I tweaked it a little bit and changed it for myself to crush the weak because it sounded a little bit more hardcore, and it still meant the same thing. Crush the weak meant whatever was weak inside of me, I was going to crush it. I'm kind of a little bit, I don't know, I'm a little bit of a weirdo, and so I actually took the sledgehammer that I was using. And I took some metal stamps and I actually stamped that into the head of the hammer. That's what it says on the hammer. Crush the weak. I still have it. It's over in the corner.
Savage.
But I still beat on tires with it sometimes. So that one for me is a good reminder that, you know, sometimes my body is weak. Sometimes I'm eating more sugar than I should or not sleeping enough or whatever it is. And that phrase for me is a good reminder that there's weakness and I'm going to crush it.
I like that. Do you ever see that speech on YouTube? I am a champion.
Yeah.
I don't know who that guy is, but he fires me up. And there's a time and a place when that speech, I was listening to that, and I'd share that with everybody, and everybody kind of got fired up, and they think I'm a weirdo, which I am. But if you look at it, there's like the I am a champion, the greatest speech ever. And
we'll link to it.
And they put some music to it. But it's a repetitive speech where he's talking about fighting and bleeding with the boys. And you're going to stand with your comrades. And he says, who am I? And they all say, I am a champion. And it just goes over and over and over. By the end of that thing, I always feel like running through a brick wall.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. And so that kind of stuff, I love that stuff, dude. I get fired up. The other things I can listen to, I can watch a haka from some New Zealand, you know, tribe or the rugby, the All Blacks. And yeah. I can listen to a haka and I can go, I want to like tear down something like those things. Like, I love that stuff.
Yeah. It's the power of words. It's the power of the emotions behind it. It's motivating.
I have no idea what they're saying. You know what I mean? Not a clue. But when I hear that haka, dude, there's something deep in your soul that said, let's go.
You just know. Yeah. You just intrinsically know. I love it. All right. Last one I've got is the phrase die knowing. This one has kind of three different parts for me. We talked about it with my dad on the episode we did with him. This idea that my dad, early on in my life, I remember hearing him talk about he wanted to know when he was dying because it was a once in a lifetime experience. Right? That's an oversimplification, but that's kind of what I took away from it as a young man. And I remember while thinking that was kind of a little bit crazy and out there.
He actually wants a hard death.
Right. A painful death.
A painful death.
So that he knows that he's going. And I did take that and internalize that and make that my own over the years as I grew and matured and thought, yeah, that makes sense to me. I do want to know when I'm going, when I'm leaving. I want it to be an experience because it's the last one I'm going to have on this earth. So that's part of that, die knowing. Obviously, that makes sense. Beyond that, that phrase for me also means there are certain things that I want to die knowing. One of those is I want to die knowing that I gave everything I had, that I didn't leave anything on the table or leave anything undone, that I just lived my life to the fullest, that I didn't shirk any of my responsibilities or just leave anything undone. And this one for me, there's a song that goes with this too, although the mindset obviously came much earlier in my life, but this is a song called Die Knowing by Comeback Kid. And the lyrics are decent. He doesn't quite go all the way where I want him to go, but I still love the song because it's got the phrase Die Knowing in it. And you should go listen to it. I mean, most of you will probably hate it, but I love it. So check it out. Die Knowing.
Love it. I think the last one that it always hits me really hard, and it's this thing that you've seen everywhere, is one day at a time. And that for me, when I hear that, I'm always either thinking about something in the past or I'm thinking about something that or some in fear of something in the future. And I'm ruining this moment right now with whatever I'm doing. And I'm not being present. The reality is I have no guarantee that I wake up tomorrow. I have no guarantee that I go home. And so if all I am is present, I know I'm a better human being. I'm a better friend. I'm a better person if I can just try to enjoy these moments. And so it's hard for me. I'm always going a million miles a minute. But you hear these things of one day at a time. And I apply it into a fitness realm, into a fatherhood realm, into a marriage to know that even though I only have a day at a time, I'm going to do the best I can right now with whatever I'm doing. And it makes a lot of sense to me. And when I live that way, when I'm purposeful in that way, I always have a wonderful day. And it's always like, if you really look down, what are you worried about? It's probably something that has not happened in the future or something that already happened that you have no control over. Just be in the moment, live for today, and you never know what can happen.
Yeah, I really agree with that. And I think that is a fantastic spot to stop. Look into your own life, find your own phrases, find your own little motivational quotes, whatever they are. I feel like this is subtly different than having like a creed. So for example, when I was in Ranger Battalion, we had this Ranger Creed that we would recite. It's great. And there's still a lot of good life lessons in that, but it's long. I can't just say it to myself in a moment. You know, it takes me minutes to recite it. So I think that having these short, sweet, just a couple of words, I think there's value in that. Find those things, write them down, share them with your friends, start saying them around other people.
And share them with us.
Yes.
What do you got? Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook. Let us know what yours are because I love this stuff.
Yeah.
So if you got something good or you got a haka or you got something that fires you up, I want to know about it.
Absolutely. I second that. Find us. Hey, since we're talking about that right now, we started a Discord group. If you don't know what Discord is, we don't really know what it is either. But
it's like a chat room.
It's like a chat room. It's a communication app. We have our own The Fire You Carry group there. We're talking to a handful of guys right now, but we're having some fun conversations. We're sharing our experiences with workouts, fitness, carnivore diet, all kinds of stuff like that. We'd love to have you guys in there. The link to join that will be in the show notes. If you can't find it, hit us up on Instagram or Facebook. We'll direct you to that, but we would love to have you guys join us there.
You got to download an app.
You do have to download an app.
And then follow our link.
Yeah. It's easy to do. You've got 100 apps on your phone. You could do another one. You could download another one. Let's talk real quick about the workout that we did today. Today was a memorial for our fallen brother, Tori Carlin. Kevin and I were on duty, so we were unable to attend the memorial. And we decided to do what we do and remember and honor him in the only way that we really could here, and that's with a memorial workout. Really quick, we've talked about it before. This idea, at least as far as I'm aware, came out of the CrossFit community doing memorial workouts for people that have been killed in the line of duty or have lost their lives in some sense. And we really adopted that here at this station. I know for Kevin and I and our engineer, Mike Kenobi, it's a good tradition. And we've even gone so far as to write our own memorial workouts for people that we love, that we have lost. So that's what we did today. We think it's an important thing to do. We think it's a good, positive way to let out some of that emotion, to suffer through a little bit of pain and remember the family that lost a dad, that lost a husband, and just to reflect on what that means and just to do that little bit of suffering to honor that family, to honor our brothers. So the workout today was 5 rounds for time. We did 15 burpee box jumps at 24 inches. We did 15 pull-ups, 15 wall balls, and then 15 mountain climbers. Those are four-count mountain climbers, military style. And then we ran 400 meters. So it took us, I think I did it in 32:28, if I remember correctly.
Took me about 40 minutes.
And Mike was right behind me at 33:55, I think. It was really brutal. We were all completely gassed by the end of it. But it did rain right in the middle of the workout, which we're in Southern California, so that doesn't happen. So that was actually, I mean, in a way, a really neat moment. It felt very appropriate. It was a good workout. If you guys try it, we would love to hear about it. Let us know what you think. That's one that we wrote. So let us know if you give it a shot. It's a brutal one, I will warn you, but it's worth doing, especially if you're in the firefighter community and you would like to do something to honor a brother that is no longer with us.
All right, so another random part. This is the random show. By my calculations, we are finishing day 13 of carnivore. So Noel got back from a trip, said he ate too much junk. I'm doing carnivore. And then Mike's like, well, so am I. And then now there's a bunch of people on this other chat channel. We've encouraged a bunch of people, and people are loving it. So how's it going for you? This is not your first time doing carnivore.
No, I think this will be my third time doing strict carnivore. Strict carnivore being, well, strict for me is animal products only. So that means I'm eating a lot of red meat. I do eat a lot of eggs. I eat a lot of cheese, and I drink heavy cream and eat butter. Those are kind of like the things that I eat. Oh, pork rinds too. I love pork rinds. So any animal product is what I'm eating right now. I've done 1 month strict before, and I felt great. I started doing another month strict and made it about 2 weeks and then quit. So if I can make it through, this will be my second time doing 30 days straight. I always find that at the beginning, it's somewhat difficult for me to do. I am addicted to sugar, and so I do have those cravings early on. I do absolutely have to supplement with electrolytes. So for me, I use salt and potassium, which is no salt. You can buy it off the shelf. It's called no salt. And it's basically potassium. So I'll mix those in with bone broth, and that helps me a ton. But once I get past that initial probably 4 to 5 days to a week, I feel great. I can eat a huge meal of meat and eggs. I don't feel full. Well, that's not really the right way to put it, because I feel satisfied, but I don't feel so full that I couldn't go out and destroy a workout or go on a fire. I just feel good. And I don't get tired like I normally do after I eat if I'm eating the traditional American diet. I can physically tell a difference looking at myself in the mirror. I get a lot leaner, and it's great. I love it. The more often I do this, these little forays into carnivore, the more I think that this will be kind of my lifestyle from here on out. Not that I'll never eat vegetables again,
wow,
but I think just defaulting to eating a pound of grass-fed ground beef with a couple eggs for lunch and dinner, I mean, it's easy, and I feel great on it. So I'm a big fan.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I have a GI issue. It's called SIBO. It's a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So there's bacteria in your intestine that's not supposed to be there. And guess what? They feed off of sugar and carbohydrates and junk. And so what's pretty amazing is I did it the first time, and I felt horrible, but I didn't realize that there's a die-off. It's killing that bacteria in my... And so it's, I think it's something that you guys might not have. And so what's wild is I went to another GI doctor, gastroenterologist, and they're saying, yeah, that they're actually recommending this. It's almost like a elimination diet where you eliminate the foods that are causing your problems and then you start building them back in. So the first few days, sure enough, I felt like I was going to die. right? And it was like flu-like. I was just like super weak. But then lo and behold, you push through. And like you said, I started feeling way better. I think it's fascinating. I'm 42. I like to take naps, right? And I haven't taken a nap in like 10 days. So there's definitely an energy level that I have that I don't normally have. And I think that's from not putting processed food, sugar, bunch of junk in. And I love the fact that I feel like I'm breaking the sugar addiction, which is real, right? And I'm not going super crazy strict, but I'm definitely on a very, very low carb, mostly 99% meat and egg type of diet. And yeah, man, I'm looking forward to keeping it rolling. It's sometimes hard with the kids because we are in full summer where we got popsicles, ice cream, and it's just summertime. But I think that I'm diligent enough. My wife supports it. And I see a difference in my GI issues and my gut issues are significant. So that alone should say, like, I'm at least doing 30 days of this. And I think I'm with you. I'd like to start testing little foods out to see what I'm sensitive to. And if it don't work, I'm going right back to meat and eggs.
Yeah, full disclosure, and this is actually interesting. I ate a couple cookies the other night with my wife because I love sugar. And, you know, I was being husband. She was having cookies, so it felt like the right thing to do to have cookies with my lovely wife. My stomach almost immediately starts hurting. When I've been on carnivore or eating clean for a couple of weeks and I go back to eating sugar, even if it's a small amount, like it immediately hurts my stomach, which I think is, I mean, I don't need any more proof that I shouldn't be eating that stuff, but it's pretty obvious that my body is rebelling against that and saying, what are you doing? We don't want that. Even though my brain wants it, because I am addicted to sugar, I do have a problem. But the body, it's not what it needs.
So if you have any questions, hit us up. We are on, what's it called again?
Discord.
Discord. Hit us up. There's a whole actual carnivore group. There's probably like 6 or 7 people that are trying it right now. So hit us up.
Yeah, there's all kinds of other ins and outs, like how to get enough nutrients and organ meat and supplements and all that stuff. But yeah, the basics are what we just laid out. And if you got more questions, it's all the more reason to join us on Discord. We have a couple of calls to action for you since we're just talking about random stuff. If you're not following us on Instagram, Kevin has the Fire You Carries Instagram page. He posts on there. Go follow us there. We're working on kind of expanding and trying to grow our audience to get this podcast out in front of more guys. And believe it or not, just by following us on Instagram, you can help us with that. So go do that. If you're one of the few boomers that's still on Facebook with me, you can follow us on Facebook as well. We have a group there. If you have not left us a review on iTunes, that is huge for us. iTunes is kind of the king of the podcast world, even though there are dozens of other places you can listen to podcasts. The majority of our downloads and every other podcast downloads comes from iTunes, and so their charts mean a lot. It's all very complicated, but if you go there, leave us a review, write some words in that review. So not just give us 5 stars, because of course, we know you will do that, but write us some sentences about what you think about the podcast. That's extremely helpful, and we would really appreciate that.
Thanks, guys. We're always blown away by your support. We love doing this, and it's been super fun so far. We love to keep it going. This has been the Fire You Carry podcast.
Said that we wanted you to stay, but on second consideration, you're out.
The red line was the watermelon crawl.
Watermelon crawl. That was the worst I ever heard.